What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 23rd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. David Festa, the Spring Festa Fall. Yeah, that was not a good game yesterday at all. He was the follower, not the starter, so 4.2 innings of 8 earned runs, 12 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. Oh my gosh, 15 whiffs. That's cool. 96 pitches, 28% CSW, but he is appeased. Poor execution, awesome stuff. This has really been my issue with Festa. It's why I've always felt a little annoyed internally, where I see how this works. You see the four-seamer, 7 feet of extension, 95 mile per hour velocity. Good vert on that, like 17 vert or so. You have a slider that can miss bats. You have a changeup that has a 20% swing strike rate against both lefties and righties, both in 2024 and 2025. But he doesn't get enough strikes with it, and it's not well spotted around the zone. You need those four seamers upstairs. You need those sliders down in glove side. You need those changeups down in arm side. And Festa just really isn't doing it. He hasn't really done it consistently yet. He usually has two of them working, but even then, it's a bit of a grind for him to get through all of it. We have those moments where it's like, oh, cool, here's 6 innings and 6 strikeouts. That's great. But I am not going for it right now. I feel as if it's going to be a little bit before Festa really finds that groove, and I just am not that interested. Also, keep in mind, that four-seamer, even though I say those things about its good vert and its extension, etc., it is not a swinging strike rate pitch. It has never been one above a 10% swing strike rate, either to lefties or righties. So that's a huge issue and a red flag that this is a easier to hit fastball than you'd expect. It could be, of course, his location's a little bit, but it's still not that overpowering foundation that you want it to be. So I think you should be moving on from David Festa. Slay Ciccone, do you want to go for him instead? He just had this great game. He's had some good games here over the past few weeks. This was in Sacre Verde. Got the win, 7 innings, 0 run, 6 hits, 1 walk in, 3 strikeouts. No, this was a Koufax game. Everything was like down the pipe again, and I'm kind of getting sick of it. I don't want to have to deal with this because I know people will be really upset at me for not leaning into Slay Ciccone, and I just don't want to do it. Cool. Awesome. Jesus Luzardo. You remember that guy who a lot of people were worried about because his last start was, I believe, 4 walks and 4 runs against the Marlins. Maybe not 4 walks, but it was 4 runs. Yeah, no, he still pitched well on that one. It was a careful Icarus where he allowed his last two, last two base runners he faced was a walk and a hit, and then both came around to score. That's why it was 4 runs. And those two games that were 20 earned runs total, yeah, it looks like it was either tipping. It was probably a mix of tipping and also not really commanding well. He's commanded well since. And 6.2 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts with 19 whiffs for a gallows pole against the Mets. Got the win. Yeah, Luzardo is great. The command is there, the fastball, the sweeper, and the changeup are both getting whiffs. We had 13 whiffs between them. 8 on the sweeper, 5 on the change. Yeah, no, we're good. Move past the whole thing there with those 20 runs. And that Marlins game was not real. Was not the real life. You have Shohei Ohtani and Ben Kasparias. Okay, so Ohtani opened. I just mentioned, hey, he won an inning, 18 pitches. He actually had donut command. That is essentially where you throw either down the middle or well outside the zone. And not really good, but at least he had a 92 mile per hour cutter in there. He's only 18 pitches again. I wanted to see him 2 to 3 innings if possible. Not there. Fine. We are going to keep stashing him until, I guess, like August is when we expected him to be stretched out. Honestly, if you are in a roto league and you need that streaming spot, I would not be holding on to Ohtani. If I'm in a head-to-head league, the only scenario I'm holding on to Ohtani is if he is in, if you are leading by a sizable amount, because yeah, he will be valuable come playoff time for head-to-head leagues. Keep in mind, that's only for Yahoo, where they are two separate players, and it's all these conditions with it, but that's the status of Ohtani, the pitcher. Ben Kasparis came in after, got the win, 5 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. He was very fortunate the team scored all their 4 runs against the Nationals in the 3 against Soroka in his final, after he essentially left the game. This is not the best version of Kasparis. I love the fact that he has his cutter upstairs trying to do the Cannibal McSanchez. He's trying to pair it with the four-seamer up there too, and then the sweeper underneath. The whole command isn't quite there yet, and that cutter isn't so filthy. So we are seeing a lot more balls in play than we want to see. Only 2 strikeouts and 8 whiffs and 77 pitches, 21% CSW. He's not quite making the quadrants work of the zone. Yet, I do like that the fastball's upstairs. I want him to go not necessarily cutters upstairs. I want him actually cutters down, personally. But this can work, too. Andrew Abbott against the Cardinals, he's still cruising. It was only 3 strikeouts in 7 innings. 1 earned run, 3 hits, 0 walks, though. 100 pitches, 13 whiffs, 24% CSW. Andrew Abbott is throwing 4 seamers up and arm side with his changeup underneath it. And he's just nailing that. And then he has the sweeper and the curveball coming over the plate. It's working. He's winning more than you'd expect. And you just keep going. I don't know what else to say. Like, I would sell high if someone really believes this with Andrew Abbott, because I don't think this fastball changeup combination is elite. And I just feel it's pretty fortunate. You have Seth Lugo against the Padres, once again having at least 7 strikeouts in a game, 6.1 innings and 1 run, 2 hits in 0 walks, 14 whiffs, 33% CSW. Another strikeout game from him is great to see. He also didn't get a single of those strikeouts on his curveball, which is his best pitch. So that's cool. He's all reliable. You have Chris Bassitt against the White Sox, 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. You love to see that from Chris Bassitt. He had high cutters that didn't get many strikes, but his sinker set up everything underneath. That is a 44% CSW on the sinker. And then you have your sweeper and your curve helping as a big breaker, 57% strikes there. That's it against a bad team, the White Sox. You're not going to trust Chris Bassitt and Fenway, and you're not going to trust him against the Yankees. Dean Kramer against the Yankees, speaking of which, he's been acting more like a hipster than a Dean Werewolf, because he really has a 50-50 shot of either going about 1 run or 5 runs. And this was fortunately one of the good ones, 5.2 innings of 1 run, 5 hit, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts for Dean Kramer. He had a lot of success with the splitter, got 6 whiffs on that one, a really nice one to Aaron Judge for a strikeout. I take that back, that was Cano. Later on, I believe, or Sir Anthony Dominguez. Oh boy, it was a nice splitter to get him out in that situation. But remember, the fastball passed Giancarlo Stanton for a tip, a foul tip into the mitt. You also have a lot of volatility with his arsenal game to game. You don't know what is going to succeed for Dean Kramer, and it bothers me immensely. So if you are in a 15-teamer, you need something like this every week, you're just trying to chase this kind of line, sure, go with Dean Kramer. I also think the Orioles should win more games than they have in the second half than they'd have in the first, but I don't think that Dean Kramer himself has an amazing set of skills. You have Zach Littell, speaking of lack of skills but success, he went against the Tigers, 5 innings of 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 5 strikeouts. That's another productive game, a King Cole with 43% CSW. He pitched just under 70 pitches here at 15 whiffs. How does Littell do it? It's sliders, which are dancing with the disco over the plate, and then splitters as well. He has a 3.12 ERA and a 1.07 whip since April 16th, his last 13 starts. And also, a 16% strikeout rate. I actually looked this up. Who is the closest comp for a full season of this? It's Wade Miley is the only one I could find with a sub 350 ERA and a sub 115 whip with a sub 18% strikeout rate for a full year in the last like 10 years. And that was in 2023. Okay, you can't buy that. You really, really can't buy that Zach Littell is going to do this. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with it. You can kind of treat it similarly. Nah, you really can't. I mean, you can say that Miley's changeup is the splitter from Littell, and then Miley's cutter is the slider. But even that, it's a lefty instead of a righty. This whole thing just doesn't really add up to me. And if you want to keep going with it, you can. You do what you need to do. But the low strikeout rate, I mean, 5 Ks in 5 innings. My gosh, Littell, take it easy. The 15 whiffs, I don't think those are going to last. You have Casey Mize against the Rays. Gave us a scare as he was removed from this game early with a trainer after 80 pitches. It was 5 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. But don't worry. It was absurdly hot, and he was cramping. Okay, so we're good. I did not like, though, is the fact that his big curve is kind of eh. It was 50% strikes, a lot of wasted pitches on it. He had 3 whiffs, which are fine. He didn't have good four-seamer command at all, too. He did get more help from the slider than we normally get, which is also good, though. You also have splitters in the zone that did enough. So fine. Casey Mize, I'm just going to say, like, look, it was really hot. Everything's okay. We're going to keep moving on against the Twins and the Guardians. Randy Vasquez against the Royals. My gosh. 7 innings, 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. You can't keep getting away with this. You know, and I just don't think that he has a good enough approach and arsenal to make this work for fantasy managers. For the Padres, he's been incredible. And I can't give him enough praise for how he saved this rotation throughout the year. But for your fantasy teams, this cannot last. It really cannot. Adrian Hauser went against the Jays, 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and 4 strikeouts. That's 6 frames. That's a quality start. You love that. We saw 7 over 36 whiffs on changeups plus curves, which is kind of interesting because you normally see this as a sinker and a four-seamer kind of focus. And the four-seamer was really on vacation. This was more of the sinker doing stuff. He gets the Giants next. If you really are desperate for a quality start, maybe that can work. The Giants with Devers are a little bit better, though. We have other guys to talk about. The Giants game against the Red Sox with Giolito and Robbie Ray, Will Warren, and many others. Sandy Alcantara. What are we doing with Michael Soroka now? We can talk about all of that after this break. We have Will Warren with the Yankees against the Orioles. And I do want to mention, we are actually going to be watching the Yankees on playback as Chase Burns goes against the Yankees for his MLB debut on Tuesday night. We're also doing Jacob Mizorowski versus Paul Skenes at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, which is going to be such a fun matchup. You can watch this for free. If you have MLB.tv, you will see the actual game feed with the entire community. I'll be on stage essentially broadcasting the game myself, and you don't have to listen to the normal broadcast. You can listen to me with everyone else on chat watching the game live with you. So stop watching baseball alone, guys. Come to playback.tv/pitcherlist. Watch the Chase Burns MLB debut. Watch Paul Skenes versus Jacob Mizorowski. This is what we love. This is our favorite thing. Since I'm just watching it on your own, watch it with an entire community. It's amazing. So Will Warren against the Orioles did really well. 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. We'll take this. The thing is, he did it mostly with four-seamers and sinkers. And the four-seamer really taking the lead here as he's leaning into the flat height-adjusted VAA, right? So it's just a very flat fastball. It's about 1.3, 1.4. He has 16 inches of vert, 93, 94. He's good at commanding it upstairs. He's good at commanding the sinker glove side. We love that. That's really good. But he wasn't getting enough out of the changeup and the sweeper and the curve as well, I should say. That is where Will Warren takes the next step. Just 8 whiffs in this one, 6 strikeouts. That could be 10 strikeouts or so. And that should make you excited that he's still able to succeed with just his fastballs. And then there's also this other stuff that should get better over time. Lucas Giolito against the Giants had 2 unearned runs with a pop-up that should have been caught in shallow left field along the line. And it was 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks at the end of the day with 2 solo shots. And those were really, really unfortunate. Were they back-to-back? They were pretty close to being back-to-back. This was a start where his fastball command was good at times. He did have too many that leaked, I think, down and middle that I didn't really like so much. The changeup was fine. One of those home runs was an absolutely terrible hung one. And you also have the slider that went from being a cutter at times to also the loopier version as well. So big velocity band. I wasn't super enthused by this one as I have been in other ones from Giolito. That said, that's a productive start. And now he gets the Jays and the Nats and Rocky Road. And I think the Nats against the changeup should be a really good outing too. I think his four-seamer works well against lefties. So, yeah, I'm a fan of this with Lucas Giolito. I think a lot of people are seeing it now. I hope so. You understand how this works. It's not just the Giants are bad. Well, they have Devers now. Keep that in mind. Antonio Senzatella against the Diamondbacks. I can't believe he gets the gold star because, oh my gosh, 5.1 innings and 2 runs. 5 base runners, 5 Ks in course. Incredible. Miles Michaelis took advantage of the Reds carpet. And I'm happy for him, but not really. Whatever. Sandy Alcantara. I'm not going to buy into Miles Michaelis. You know this. Sandy Alcantara against Atlanta got the win. 6 innings, 3 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. I feel like there's a lot of discourse around Sandy Alcantara. And there isn't so much about his changeup for whatever reason. This was 6 whiffs and 18% CSW. The way I see it is Sandy Alcantara's two best approaches, I mean, really the best approach against right-handers and the best approach against left-handers, is pretty simple. You throw your four-seamers hard and generally upstairs and inside, right, to right-handers. That's how he would get those quick outs before. He had O-swings well above 30% on the sinkers. That was what happened there. Then you have some sliders. You have some change-ups against righty and righty, too. But really, that is the main focus. Okay, get that inside, get that upstairs, make sure it's not too much over the plate. Then against the lefties, the changeup was a game changer for Alcantara. That was the pitch down and away to lefties, just endlessly, so difficult. He would then throw some fastballs around there as well. But that's really the main element of Alcantara. And here's the thing. Yesterday was sinkers away to lefties. Four seamers kind of over the plate. And the changeup is still not it. 0 over 14 whiffs with just 50% strikes on the changeup is just not that. It was better four-seamer command. It's close to the edges, but it's not really inside to right-handers. And the slider actually was good where it earned him strikes over the plate and they get damaged a lot. That's a big deal. But I am waiting for the changeup to reappear. That was the real trump card, the major thing that turned Sandy into a stud. And I'm still waiting for it. So I imagine he'll get there eventually. He's going to be on a different team at some point. He has to be. And I hope it works out. You have Michael Soroka going 5 innings of shutout ball. Pretty much just incredible with, it was fantastic. And then a careful Icarus against the Dodgers. Oh, no. 10 strikeouts in this one. 5.1 innings of 300 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 10 strikeouts. 15 whiffs, 29% CSW, 85 pitches. That's great. I can't believe he struck out Edmund with that curve. Whatever. The Angels and Red Sox and Cardinals were up next. I think we're fine with that. I'm not saying that Soroka is fixed, though. The changeup is still coming along. How good is that curve? And his fastballs are not really elite or anything. So I'm happy this one worked out really well. It's kind of amazing. But I'm not totally sold about it. I think he got away with some pitches down the middle, too, for those strikeouts. You have Bailey Falter against the Rangers. He's not on the Rays yet, so not there yet. No, 5 walks and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with that? 5.1 innings of 300 runs and 6 hits to go with that. You got to win. I guess that's nice. But yeah, I think the best version of Falter I've seen is four-seamer and curve. And this was four-seamer and splitter, and the four-seamer was not up. Oh boy. Robbie Ray opposite Lucas Giolito. 5 innings of 300 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. He allowed a 2-run shot. He also pitched pretty well. 16 whiffs, 34% CSW. We'll take this. Except that the ratios weren't there. Unfortunate. I'm not going to remove his ace. He's going to ace label. He gets the White Sox next. I mean, he should do well there. I'll judge him against the Diamondbacks. Because I actually do think this was a good version of Ray. It wasn't the 60% plus fastballs. It was under 40%. And he utilized his pitch as well. The changeup wasn't a major factor. And maybe that is a thing to look out for. But no, we should like this about Robbie Ray. JP Sears, 5 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. I like the fact that he's working on pitch separation, trying to keep the four-seamer up, trying to work in the changeup and the sweeper effectively. But this wasn't the one for him, and now he gets the Yankees. But I'm curious how this is going to play out. He will get the Giants on July 4th, but are we going to like that by then? I don't know. Kyle Hendricks wasn't very good against the Astros, and he didn't get 7 Ks because, yeah, that's not supposed to be what happens. You have Jack Leiter, otherwise known as Jack Zippo, acting like a Pease, like David Fessa. 4 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks against the Pirates. Pease stands for poor execution, awesome stuff. And I'm just sick and tired of waiting for Jack Leiter to just click in. And even when he does, is it going to stay there? I don't know. He might be a post-type 2026 guy that we take later on, and we convince ourselves it's going to be good and make good decisions, and we won't. You have Quinn Priester against the Twins, 3.1 innings of 300 runs, 9 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Yeah, he didn't have a slider that was the precise pitch that allowed him to do well before. I don't think that you really want to keep chasing Priester, except that he gets Rocky Road next. And then if that looks really good, then maybe you might be tempted for the Marlins. And then maybe the Nationals. Let's just do Rocky Road and see where we are. Okay, cool. Brandon fought against the Rockies, but in Coors. 5 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. He went 4 shutout. And then you had a 4-run fifth with a 3-run blast, allowing all 4 base runners, or essentially all 4 base runners came in to score. So that's a pretty good outing previously. And it's just frustrating because Fought leaned into four seamers in this one, but it's not really a very good lefty approach. I just can't buy into it. He does get the Marlins and Giants next. 15 teamers, absolutely. I know you have to do that. 12 teamers is up to you. I just don't think he's that good. That's it. Logan Gilbert against the Cubs. I mean, Wrigley was sending so many home runs out. I think 9 home runs were hit in this game by both teams combined. 5 innings, 4 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. Lots of splitters, lots of sliders. And the 4-seamer command wasn't very good. All right, 18 whiffs and 30% CSW. Fine. We're just going to keep going with them. Ryan Gusto against the Angels got the win, but 6 innings, 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. Hey, it's a nice whip, and strikeouts a bit of a dusty donut there with that 5 earned run total. It was 2 home runs. It was a 2-run shot and a 3-run shot. That's it. 4-seamer and sinker were working. Yes, the sinker, not just the 4-seamer alone. I didn't love the secondaries. You had sweepers and sliders going 2-for-9 whiffs, which is fine. You also had 9 curveballs with some good called strikes, but they're not really doing so much. And is that 4-seamer going to be able to lead the way a ton? He gets the Cubs and Dodgers next, so we'll just wait after that and see where we are. Bryce Elder did not do well against the Marlins. 5 earned runs, 10 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks in 5.1 innings. Yeah, that 12 strikeout game against the Pirates was clearly the outlier. And he only had 1 over 42 whiffs here on this slider. I wonder if Atlanta would turn to anything else at this point. David Peterson didn't do well against the Phillies. A tough one here. 4 innings of 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. He nibbled around the zone. It didn't quite work out against the Phillies. Whatever, he gets the Pirates. That should be fine. And Colin Ray, as I mentioned in Wrigley with Logan Gilbert, he allowed plenty of home runs himself, 4 of them. Oh boy. I believe actually Gilbert had 3 home runs. It was 4 with Ray, and there were 2 more allowed. It was so bad. You don't really want to go with Ray, save for good matchups, and I don't really see a good matchup for Colin Ray for a bit, so don't go for that. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. We got to 10,000 subscribers on YouTube, which is incredible, but that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.